Hi and welcome to What's Next? Rethinking Architecture. I'm Therese, your host, and for today's episode, my guest is a young architecture office from Oslo called Studio Tenef. I'm super excited for the interview, so let's get started right away and have fun listening. Okay, hi Daniel. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time. How are you?
Hi Therese, thank you for inviting me to the show. It's a pleasure to be here, and right now I'm healthy and good. Hope you're doing well yourself.
I'm pretty good. Thank you.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we start the actual interview, please introduce yourself. Who are you?
Yeah. So my name is Daniel. I'm currently based in Oslo, where I am finishing my thesis at the Oslo School of Architecture and Design. And I started Studio Tenef in 2020. So you could say that I'm in a kind of a transition phase, which is, for me, I think is really exciting. You have many new things to learn, and of course you are eager to test your skills after 5 years of education.
Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting. But we will come back to that later. And in general, we start with some warm-up questions about yourself. The first one would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic? What's the favorite one?
The favorite one? So I guess I will go with the alcoholic then. So I think for me, it's nothing is better than a cold whiskey sour. What about you? Do you have any favorites?
I always go with gin tonic. I think you can always drink gin tonic.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's safe.
Yeah, but whiskey sour also really good. Good choice. If you could develop a new skill overnight, what would it be? It can be anything.
Yeah, I think I will go with teleportation.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's really
because
good.
Have you seen the movie Jumper?
Yes. That's so really good.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great to just be able to kind of close your eyes and then you can, let's say, are you sitting in Germany right now?
Yes, in Munich.
Yeah, in Munich. So you could just go and eat lunch in Egypt on the top of a pyramid, and then you could teleport your way here to Oslo, have a coffee with me, and then go back to your studio. It would be really a freedom.
That would be really awesome. That's a really good answer. What's your favorite hobby besides architecture? Or is architecture your hobby?
No, you have to have hobbies, I think, or else it would be just one track of line. But for me, I think music has always been really a part of my life. And I have been playing the guitar with I have a twin brother, mm-hmm. and we have been playing together since we were about 10 years. Mm-hmm. You just experience a lot of faces. We have been punks. We have been playing heavy metal, playing a lot of indie jazz. Now I'm really into the Brazilian music called bossa nova.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Really great. So you kind of discover new sides of yourself all the time, which I think is really nice.
Do you publish the music somewhere? YouTube? Spotify?
No, it's just
for
just
yourself.
For
Ah, okay. Okay. You are a really young architecture office. As you mentioned earlier, you founded in 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your philosophy?
So, for me, I think I have to have a clear idea for a project to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea should be kind of expressed in all aspects of the project, from the structure to the smallest details. So I always kind of strive to make architecture as one. For me, structure is the rawest expression of architecture. So I think that structure has a poetic value, and it is not only the body of the building. It is an expression of forces. The construction of the building should be, for me, I think it should be a manifestation of the core idea of the project.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good answer. Do you work, besides your work for your own studio, on a freelance base for another studio? Or can you live from the work for your studio?
Right now, I don't work for anybody else. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I am finishing my thesis at school. So yeah. I have support from school, and also I work at my school. But yeah, I definitely, when opportunity comes, I do work freelance for other offices.
Where do you find your clients?
Right now, I have.
Do you have clients, or is it in the?
Right now, I am my own client, but I have, for instance, built a little project for my sister, which is, you can say that the client is family.
Mm-hmm.
As a young architect trying to start your own studio, I think you will have to kind of be like a fisherman. You have to try to reel some clients in, and the way I try to do that is to kind of invest in myself, be my own client, and mm-hmm. draw the project I want to attract and gain the experience I want to have. And I think this is a nice way of doing things, because then you also learn a lot about how to present your work, how to communicate, all these things.
That's true. The content you have on Instagram is really beautiful. The projects you publish there, really beautiful.
Thank you very much.
How do you start your design process? Could you describe it by means of an example? How do you start? Do you have a set of rules, or do you have to free your mind first?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think... for me, it's a lot about finding fascination in the project, something to give the project a deeper meaning somehow. And this fascination should have something to do with an understanding of the task. So it varies a lot from project to project. But having that fascination, I think, is what kind of leads me through a project. And I think that is what makes architecture really interesting, that you have to study and imagine life from many different angles.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, say you will draw a kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to imagine the life through a child's eye, understanding their core needs, how they play together, if they play alone. How to make them feel safe, they are feeling enthusiastic when playing together, maybe they're sad. All these things are about emotions, and architecture for me is a lot about emotions, but also the children. They will spill food, make a mess, you have to clean, all these practical things which also could give the architecture really its expression.
So you already answered, you kind of answered my next question. What's
yeah.
the most important thing in all your designs? Or is there a special feeling or atmosphere you would like to transfer through your designs. Is there a certain experience you would like to you would like the visitor to perceive? It depends, right?
Yeah, it depends really, because
but then how do you do that? Through materials, or how would you do that?
I don't have kind of a specific feeling in mind when I want my building, or that I want my buildings to express, but I try to design buildings in a way that allows the body to have different sensations, because we sense our surroundings through our body. By stimulating our senses, we get more into a present state of mind. We experience our surroundings, and most of the times we are focusing on what's happening inside our minds, especially now with all this noise around technology, and there are just so many things which takes away our focus. So for me, I think what is really brilliant when you kind of walk into a church, at once you're just present, just switch. And it's because of your senses, they're being activated. It's this really change in acoustics, in maybe temperature, all these things which just get you to be present. And I don't want to make buildings which are like churches, but I want you to feel something.
That's a really good answer. I'm gonna listen to it again after stopping the record. what means being an architect for you? Can I call myself an architect even though I don't ever want to build something?
I think I don't know how it is in Germany, but in Norway, architect is not a protected title. So practically in Norway, everybody can call themselves an architect. But I don't think there are that you should be or that architect should be linked with a person that builds something. I think there are lots of tasks for architects other than buildings. For instance, hosting a podcast or regulating cities, teaching. Yeah, it's just a really broad profession. And for me, being an architect is kind of being connected to creation. We humans, we are gifted with the ability to imagine ideas and then being able to manifest them into reality. And I think that is why I do this.
In Germany, the title architect is protected.
It is.
Yeah, you cannot call yourself an architect. You can say, I have a studio or a design group or whatever, but you cannot call yourself an architect.
Okay.
And do you think we have to rethink the term architect also in terms of breaking down those deadlocked office structures? Because I think a big problem is where all the creativity gets lost is because of those structures.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
I think it's a hard question. because to be able to rethink the term architect, I just have to be understanding what it really means, if you know, because it has so many meanings. And but what you said about kind of the structures and how we work and those things, I think a lot of creativity and a lot of time goes to waste over communication, also between different groups in the project. say, for instance, you are communicating with an engineer or with the people which are actually going to build the project. These things often happens by mail and back and forth, and it would be really nice to kind of work together more closely as a group, sketching together with a carpenter, or just having this more not so formal, like really informal, personal discussions. I think viewing what an architectural office is could be not just containing architects. It should be multiple professions, I think.
So for me, an architect is like a creative problem solver.
That's nice.
And the future architect has to be architect, designer, and researcher all in one person, and creating more in an interdisciplinary team. But how would you do that in your studio when you're really starting?
I think I don't want to be this really complex person which has all the responsibility, if you know. I would like to have a group of people which has their own kind of superpowers or specialities, and then for instance, I'm not that good in research, or it gives me, I think it's a hard thing to do. I'm more about maybe self-reflecting, and then maybe some other people in the team are really good in that direction, and somebody else has their specialties. And I think that is what makes groups so important in our profession. I don't think we should view ourselves as this one person which is kind of 10 professions in one, because that's a lot of responsibility. We should be more focused on designing good buildings, I think.
Okay, that's a good opinion. How do you feel about remote work? Would that be possible in your studio?
Yeah, I think now being a part of this special period with the pandemic and all, I think it just shows us that working remote is really possible. Just connecting with people across the world, it's not so hard that we can I actually have done two competitions with teams that when I was in Norway, the other person on the team were in Switzerland, for instance. So we didn't meet each other once during the process, and we didn't need to. So I think it's really possible. But for me, just being able to sketch on a drawing or sketch on somebody's idea and back and forth with sketching, I think that is a bit lacking. The direct communication of drawing.
Yeah, and do you feel like there is a lot of time getting wasted, all those back and forth with the person who's not in the same room? Because this is an argument that a lot of people bring up when it comes to remote work, that it's way easier if the person just could come over to your desk and tell you what to do.
I think that what is really nice when you're working together with a group or a person is that when you have this dialogue and you are throwing ideas back and forth, you start to get in this really good energy, and then you create beautiful things. And I think that's a bit harder to do when you're taking it over, for instance, Zoom or other platforms, because then you have this barrier of technology, which is stopping you, kind of. I think we're there in not so many years. It's just about developing the tools, I guess.
Okay. And living and working, do you think those two parts of life will continuously mix up more and more? So you work where you live, or you live where you work? So that we're not going to leave our homes anymore to go to the office, that it's not that hard border anymore between those two parts of life.
It will be exciting to see how, when this pandemic is over, fingers crossed, then it will be exciting to see how things are turning. But I think people will like this kind of freedom to be able to work a bit at home if they want. And as we spoke about earlier, working in groups, being together with other people is just something you cannot argue about. There are so many benefits, but but the freedom, I think people really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though those are really horrible times, I think it's also a really interesting time, and a time with a lot of chances to develop something new and a new way of living and working. So I think there's also something positive.
Yeah.
Even though it feels horrible.
Yeah, sure. But I also are optimistic, because we, as humanity, we get challenged, and then we have to make new solutions.
Mm-hmm. And regarding the current situation, do you think there will be future building tasks for large public gatherings like universities and colleges in the future? Or do we have to rethink this whole large public come together thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we create a new social together, a new form of it.
I hope we can kind of solve this in a good way, but I think making flexible structures, or structures which has possibility to change, studying how to make not permanent installations inside buildings, which can give the building a new purpose, and then you can take them away and it can completely change. I think this is a lot of possibilities around it.
And what do you think will be the new normal
in case of
in terms of when we're done with this pandemic situation? Will we go back to the old normal, or is there a new normal way of living?
I think the way of living will be, maybe we will go back to where we started a bit, but I think we will also I don't know. I think it depends on who you are. If you like to have work and live together, you may be doing that more in the future. If you think it's just a mess, you will divide them. But I think in general, just making buildings which allows both is nice. Not kind of shaping really how you would live, just having the person choose I think, a good way to handle it.
Last question.
Yeah.
What is architecture for you personally? You already mentioned some things, but maybe you can give me one answer.
I will say that architecture is my work. It's my profession. My pride and craftsmanship. When that's said, there are all these other things in life which are important to use time on. So I think just that we architects are often so concentrated on performing, so we have a tendency to treat our bodies poorly. We work ourselves into stressful lives. And I don't think it has to be that way. There are many other things which is nice that we have to enjoy as well.
Oh, that sounds good.
So it's a work. It's the profession, but it's we have to not drain ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. But most of the architects are, it's an ego thing sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's maybe. And also it could be that you're working a place which completely kind of underestimate what working hours means during
yes,
a task. So
true.
you get 10 hours to do something that requires 20 hours.
Yeah.
But that is another story.
Maybe we can discuss that on our next interview.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Daniel, thank you so much. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Okay. What are your plans for today?
Now I am going to go outside. It is beautiful weather here in Oslo. So just enjoy the Saturday.
That sounds great. I will probably do the same. Thank you so much, Daniel, for taking the time. And that was What's Next Rethinking Architecture for this week's episode. I hope you guys had as much fun as I had listening to Studio Tenef. And as always, please leave a comment. Until next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao.